This is Guildcast, episode 28, for May 12th, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. And in this episode, I'm sorry to say I'll be doing a solo show without Lady Sinea. She's taking a much-deserved break. And the topic of this week's show is henchmen. I was originally going to make this a two-part series where I'd talk about the Prophecy's henchies this episode and then the Faction's henchies next episode. But since Lady Sinea won't be submitting her segment this week, I figured I'd go ahead and add in the Faction's henchmen information also. I know it's a topic that several people have been begging me to do a show on, and the henchies are a topic of much debate daily on the major forums. First, though, I'll get into some of the updates from this last week. On Monday, May 8th, they added a special in-game thank you gift for players who purchased the Faction's Collector's Edition. If you type / bonus items in an outpost or town, you'll get the gift. And what this gift is, it's a mini Kun Vang, which is the dragon at the end of the game, and it was at the end of the preview event also. And it's pretty neat. It's like a little mini pet, but it's the dragon. He floats around and everything. And only one of these gifts will be generated per account. They also made various improvements and fixed bugs in several quests. They improved the appearance of some ascended assassin masks. They improved energy bonuses on the shaman's obsidian armor. They fixed a bug in the behavior of Senji, the profession changer. They added several new bosses to the Jade Sea and Echovald Forest to supplement elite skill captures. They improved healer henchmen so that they used the Signet of Devotion skill more wisely. And also they fixed a bug that sometimes prevented the Arborstone mission from being completed. The rest of the week they've been adding updates to fix small bugs, mostly with missions not finishing correctly, and some NPC skills needed some fixing. I imagine they'll be doing this still for a while, as I've noticed I keep getting that pesky disconnection from the servers error all week. Now, as far as my own progress through Kantha, I'm happy to say I finally beat the storyline part of the game this week with my ranger. The first group I was in at the last mission had two monks and two ritualists, which was healing overkill in this mission, so we had no real damage output. It took us 17 minutes to do it. I was so excited to get to that last mission, finally, I had forgotten Charm Animal for the Phoenix, so I immediately redid the mission with much better players this time. We beat it in less than a minute, and I couldn't believe it. I literally didn't even have a chance to use any interrupts, which was what my whole build was focused around anyway. And then the wonderfully elite warrior in the group started laughing and killing all the phoenixes before I could charm any. I really hate people like that, seriously. So I had to redo that mission a third time. And this time not as quickly, it took about 3 or 4 minutes this time, but I got my phoenix, so I'm happy. Now, just to get enough amber for that 15k Kurzik armor I've got my eye on. Hopefully I'll be able to do that this weekend. I'm also trying out a lot of the new features and factions here and there, and I'm really enjoying them a lot. Thanks to some guildies, I've become addicted to alliance battles. I'm also experimenting with the one-on-one battles for potential contests in the future, complete with a tournament-style setup. I think I've mentioned that before, actually, but it has a lot of potential, and it was really nice to actually try it out. And then with wonderful timing, my media web host went down for a few days, as many of you probably already know. So after they finally came back up last week, during the middle of the week, right around Tuesday I think it was, they told me that they lost everything. And it really makes me glad that I have my media on a separate host from my website and forums. So this week I spent quite a while uploading all the old shows again and restoring that. And I was actually able to get everything up except for the videos. They're going to be put on a separate website. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And if you're having any problems with those old shows, or if your feed isn't refreshing like it should be in iTunes, you just simply unsubscribe to Guildcast, delete it from your podcast list, and then subscribe again. That way it'll refresh everything, and you might have to, it might show all the old shows again, all the old episodes, but you don't actually have to download all the old shows again. You can just delete them before they actually start downloading, because it's the same show, I haven't changed it, they're just on a different server, so they're being refreshed. And, you know, I know this is a pain in the neck, but it was something that I really had no control over, so it's prompted me to set up an alternative storage space, like I said, and where the videos are, and I'm actually putting up old shows on there too, the audio shows, and this storage space is at www.putfile.com/guildcast. That's PUTFILE.com/guildcast. If you go there, you can click on media, and it'll have a list of all the old shows where you can listen to them from right there. And the only downfall of this being that you can't save them to your computer. I don't think so. I tried it out, and I don't think you can save them to your computer. But you can listen to them from your browser itself. Now, I was talking with one of my fellow guildies, Mork Nightwind, recently. And he brought up a good point that I would probably have to agree with. Now, with this new alliance system, we have a way to communicate among the guilds in the alliance with the alliance chat feature. But only officers and guild leaders can use this feature. I think it's a great idea, but why can't the rest of the members use it? The only reason I can think of is if you had your alliance maxed out to 10 guilds with 100 members each, that's 1,000 people. And let's say, you know, 10% of those people are actually connected at one time, which I think is a pretty fair estimate. But that's still 100 people who could potentially be talking on one chat channel at one time. And that could get pretty crazy. But I think realistically, that many people, even if they're all connected, wouldn't be using the chat channel all at once. It'd probably be more like 20 or so, which could still get pretty crazy. But I'd like to see if there's any way that ArenaNet can solve this and let all members use the Alliance chat system also. Plus, I think it would be really nice if there was a way for all members of an Alliance to see a list of all members in that Alliance, if even just the ones currently connected. The reason this is especially an issue with us is that Lost is broken into two guilds now, mainly so we could have room to grow more, because we were maxed out. Of course, we formed an alliance with each other, but a lot of our friends who have gone to this new sister guild have no real way of knowing who's available to play in the original Lost, and vice versa. So we seem to think that it'd be a pretty fair addition to the alliance system to add this. And I did a little research on this, on both of these topics, after me and Mork talked about it a little while, and it seems that a lot of the people on the major forums feel the same way, that this is something that should be added or changed to the Alliance system. It's a pretty big issue. Now, I also wanted to announce something that I've mentioned before on the show, but I'm now in the process of getting started. I guess you could say I'm now accepting applications, for lack of a better phrase, for another person to join the Guildcast team as a PvP content contributor. This is a position where a person would submit a finished segment to me to add to an episode, and it would be all about the latest in PvP-related news, stories, tips, tricks, or whatever else that's only concerning PvP in both chapters of Guild Wars. This will include alliance battles, faction control, Hall of Heroes, and GVG also. Some basic technical requirements you can get really easily, such as a microphone and editing software. The microphone doesn't need to be great. Anything halfway decent will do. And the editing software can be Audacity, which is free. And I could even help the person out with how to get started in that. So things like that aren't really going to be determining factors as much as things like a good speaking voice, a nice clear speaking voice, experience in the game, consistency, reliability, you know, things like that. And of course, try to remember that this isn't a paying gig. Now, I consider myself, you know, a pretty laid-back guy. Like with Lady Sinea, I know, you know, that I can count on her to submit quality, finished segments every time. And I don't tell her exactly what to write or how to write it. I know that I can trust that her segment will be entertaining and informative without my hand in it. But of course, I do let her know the topic beforehand with some notes as to what exactly I'll be talking about, and that's mainly just so that we don't overlap too much, you know. But if someone was doing a PvP segment, that wouldn't be as much of a problem, since it's a pretty good bet that I won't be talking about PvP myself. So what I'm saying is, it would be really nice to have someone I can count on as much as I can with Lady Senea. But I'll be posting a complete description of this position in the forums after I post the show. So if you or someone you know, like a friend or a guildmate, would be interested in becoming a part of Guildcast in this position, just send me an email at guildcastshawn@gmail.com. That's GuildCastShawn, all one word, @gmail.com. And the reason I want you to send it to this email is because it can handle a lot larger capacity than my other email, my Shawn@guildcast.com. And what you'll do is you'll put in the title something about PvP position, like PvP application or just something with PvP in it, so I can filter those emails. And just let me know about the experience you have with PvP, including maybe your rank or your guild's rank, possibly, a little bit about your PvP characters, you know, things like that. Maybe even some stories that you feel would help let me know what kind of a player you are. Also include a small sound file of yourself, preferably in MP3 or WAV format, so that I can get a feel for your voice. Or another option is you can call either my voicemail number at 1-206-666-GWEN, or you can leave a message on Skype to my username Guildcast. Be sure to tell me your email address on the voicemail so I know which one to match with which email application. I'm going to be sifting through these for the next few weeks, so you may not hear anything about this again for a little while, but I will actually still be working on it behind the scenes. Plus, I want to get someone who will be the best for this position, so I'm not going to pick someone just to have someone, you know, just for the sake of having a PvP contributor. If I don't find someone who I think would be good enough, then I'm just going to keep waiting until I do, or possibly not even have that segment. So, with that said, there's no real deadline for this, but of course I'd like to find someone as soon as possible. In the Prophecies campaign, henchmen are computer-controlled characters that you can hire in your party once you've left Pre-Searing Ascalon. Their skills and attributes grow with their levels as you progress through the game. Henchmen count as party members, and as such, claim their share of the party's experience and loot. It doesn't cost anything up front to add them to your party. Henchmen will generally attack whatever the party leader is targeting. This is both positive and negative. Single enemies may go down quickly, but it's often a strategic advantage to engage more than one equally dangerous enemy. The AI controlling the henchmen is often unpredictable and illogical, causing such frustrating behavior as healers rushing into a melee and getting cut down, or warriors standing around while an enemy is right next to them. ArenaNet does regularly upgrade the henchmen AI, but as was said very recently by Gail Gray herself, why make the AI superior to the other players? Then no one would ever form a group with anyone but the henchmen. Which I would have to say a lot of people do anyway. Henchmen all have either a resurrection signet or a permanent resurrection skill. They'll use them in different situations, sometimes impressively, like reviving a monk in the heat of a battle to tip the scale to the party's favor, or at other times quite incompetently, like the soul monk letting a party member die because she's busy resurrecting another one. Henchmen will only use their resurrection signet if none of the surviving party members have multi-use spells for resurrection. The order of preference in spending their signet is 1. Any human player with a resurrection spell, 2. Any henchman with a resurrection spell, 3. Any human player, and 4th. Any henchman. Henchmen are often claimed to be very bad or even harmful party members. Many players struggle to form parties of completely random players, even for hard missions, just to avoid using henchmen. However, a player with lots of experience on playing with henchmen will be able to complete any mission and almost any bonus with henchmen and possibly a friend or two. You just need to know how henchmen react to your actions. Most players don't really understand how the henchmen AI works, and they act so that the henchmen do things not wanted by the players. here's some tips on effectively controlling the henchmen. If you attack an enemy, your damage-dealing henchmen will begin attacking your target. You can easily have the henchmen attack your target by simply attacking and possibly also calling the target. If you use Shift, Control, Spacebar, that works really good. If you try to pull the enemy mob to you by attacking them with a ranged attack, your henchmen will attack the mob and spoil the pull. You need to pull by aggroing the enemy mob and moving back to the spot where you want to fight, then attack to send the henchmen to the fight. Henchmen will follow you soon after you begin running away from the enemy. Having the henchmen retreat from fighting is fairly easy. You have all your players run away from the enemy, not using any attack or attack skills. The henchmen will follow soon, but not as soon as you probably would like them to. It's not possible to have the henchmen fight while you run away. They will actually run away with you. If you don't attack a mob and run past it, the henchmen will follow you without fighting. This doesn't always happen. Sometimes they will fight if they're attacked while they're running, but after a while they'll try to follow you. Henchmen will divide into groups to follow different players. When your group needs to divide, henchmen will often divide into smaller groups following different players. They'll often divide according to their profession. For example, all monks will follow the same player. If one of the party members needs to separate from the group to move alone without henchmen, the others can prevent the henchmen from following that single player. When the player runs further, the others need to keep clicking on the ground near them with the left mouse button, and the henchmen will stay and not follow the lone player. If you hold the control key while using a resurrection skill, the henchmen monks will often rush to resurrect your target. Again, this isn't always the case. If you want your henchmen monks to resurrect a party member, call your resurrect on that member and hope that the henchmen will resurrect him. Note that if you have more than one monk henchman, they'll usually both begin the resurrection process, leaving your party without healing or protection. If you want to announce to your party that you're resurrecting a dead member, you need to type it in manually, or the henchman might begin resurrecting him, leaving the party without other help. Henchmen will follow your party closely, staying near each other when you aren't fighting. And it's pretty easy to avoid enemy groups as the henchmen will follow you. But beware of moving too fast when going around enemies. If the henchmen are too far, they'll use the shortest route, which could take them straight into the enemy group that's between you and them. The level of a henchman depends on the area. For instance, all henchmen in Sardalak Sanitarium are always level 3, and those in Pikin Square are always level 6. This is true even though each henchman is present in multiple places. Like Stefan the Warrior appears in both Pikin and the Sanitarium, at whichever level is appropriate for that place. It's important to note that henchmen levels are reset each time the player enters a new town. If the level 6 Stefan is hired in Pikin, and the player then travels back to the Sanitarium, Stefan will suddenly revert to a level 3, just as if he were originally hired at that level. Now let's meet the henchmen. I still remember when I got to post Searing Ascalon for the first time, and I saw those four characters standing near the exit. And I'd heard about henchies before, but this was my first real encounter with them. Of course, when you're starting out, you don't really realize just how comically bad they are, but they helped me through many missions, and this was before I had a lot of friends in the game to play with, so I used henchies a lot. I actually still do. But much of the storyline revolves around the henchmen, both in pre- and post-searing, and especially in factions, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. The first four henchies we encounter are Stefan the Sword Warrior, Alicia the Healer Monk, Orion the Fire Elementalist, and Reyna the Archer Ranger. It's not until Yak's Bend that we meet three more: Little Tom the Axe Warrior, Claude the Blood Necro, and Dunham the Hexing Mesmer. And it's not until the Crystal Desert where we're introduced to another henchy, Lina the Protector Monk. These eight make up your only choices of henchmen throughout most of the game in Prophecies, with the exception of the three cities in the southern Shiver Peaks, Deldramore War Camp, Marhan's Grotto, and Thunderhead Keep. In these three cities, as well as on the Fire Islands, Stefan, Alicia, Claude, and Reyna are replaced with Devona, Sin, Eve, Menlo, and Aiden. These five will also carry over into factions and play a big part of the storyline over there. The only place where these core henchies don't appear and are replaced by unique henchies is in the Battle Isles and the ruins of the Tomb of the Primeval Kings, where the Zacian henchmen appear. These include the Zacian fighter, healer, archer, and mage. Also, there were a few special holiday event henchmen that ArenaNet added in specifically for these events. During the Halloween 2005 event, you could get the Mad King's Guard in your party. These were level 12 golems made of candy corn, and they had necromancer skills. And then during the Winter's Day 2005 event, we had the Enchanted Snowmen, which basically looked a lot like ice elementals, except they had the head of Frosty the Snowman. And they used water elemental skills to aid in those special holiday quests. And now on to the new factions henchmen. These henchies work in basically the same way as the Prophecy's henchies. There's just a lot more choices in factions. Plus, much more of the storyline revolves around the henchies and factions, namely Menlo, who, ironically, we can't even have as a henchman in factions. There are, however, four others who came over with you to the new land, and they're Devona, Sin, Aiden, and Eve. Factions also introduces us to the henchmen of other species, such as the Avakara, and there's two Wallows. They're also quite chatty in factions, which has proven to be pretty amusing, and this has actually inspired the Henchman Quotes contest that I ran a few days last week that I just talked about. In the beginning levels of Kanta, the henchmen of Xingjie Island start out at level 3 in the Xingjie Monastery and in the Minister Cho's estate. In Sume Village, they're level 6, and they gain up to level 10 in the Ranmusu Gardens. In Saitung Harbor, they're up to level 12, and level 16 in Zen Dejong. After that, once you get to the mainland of Kanta, all henchies are level 20. Now I'm going to break these Kantan henchies down by class, just to make it a little easier to understand since there's so many of them. First, the warriors. We have Devona, the Hammer Warrior, and Lucas, Talon Silverwing, and Sigard Ellie, who are all sword warriors. Talon Silverwing is actually the only Avakara henchman. For rangers, we have Aiden, Aurora the Barrage Ranger, Damon the Interrupt Ranger, Yoon, and Zoe. The monks include Danica, Jamie, Sister Tai, and Taya, who are all healing monks, and then there's the Kurzik Redemptor Klaus and the Luxon Sigard Gita, who are both protector monks. The necromancers include Brutus and Sheena, the two Wallow henchies, Brutus being the Blood Necro and Sheena being Curses and Death. And then there's Eve, who's another Blood Necro who actually uses Blood Ritual, and she can be pretty valuable. And then there's Sue, who is another Curses Death Necro. And none of these Necro henchies have any animation Minion Master skills. That's one thing to keep in mind. And I don't know if ArenaNet is planning to do that in the future, make a Minion Master henchie, but I think that'd be pretty exciting. And it also would be pretty difficult for the AI, I would imagine. The Mesmer henchman has some interesting characters, including Eris Vasberg, who uses Interrupt and Punishing Hexes. And then there's Lo Sha and Sigard Hala, who both are Interrupt Degen Mesmers. There's a generous amount of Elementalist henchies also, with Argo and Sin, the Fire Ellies, Headmaster Vang, the Lightning Air Ellie, and Kai Ying, the Earth Ellie. And then there's Kisai, who uses a combination of both air and water magic. If for some strange reason you'd never need an assassin in your party, just kidding, there's Emi, Mai, Nika, and Pinaku, who is the only assassin henchy who uses primarily shadow art skills. And finally, we have the ritualist henchies. These include Chiyo, Aeson, the Communing Restoration Ritualist, and Professor Guy, the Restoration Ritualist. While doing my research on these henchies, I've discovered a lot of interesting little soap opera moments that the writers have included. The unique personalities, the family connections, and the love triangles alone add a lot of entertainment value to the game. For example, as for family connections, we have Sigard Ellie is Damon's older brother. Emi and Chiyo are twin sisters. Mai is cousins with Nika, and I believe Sister Tai is Alicia's sister. And Danica is actually the daughter of Count zu Helzer, and she's admired greatly by Heiress Vosburg, who is of the House Vosburg. In fact, a few other henchies seem to have a lot of admiration for each other, I guess you could say. Of course, there's Menlo and his groupies like Jamie, Emmy, Chio, and Sin. And then there's Sigard Halla, who is in love with Argo. And, you know, I can think of nothing more romantic than standing around city gates all day, staring at each other, just waiting for someone to hire you. Now, since there's not really a skill that goes along with the topic of henchmen very well, this skills and build segment will be pretty random. So I've decided to talk about one of my favorite new spells for an old profession, and that's the Necromancer's Animate Flesh Golem. Now, there's been a lot of complaining recently about the restriction that ArenaNet has put on the Minion Master. Apparently now they have a minion limit of 10 at a time, and the time and effectiveness of Verata Sacrifice has been reduced. But, you know, in my opinion, this is offset very slightly with the introduction of the Flesh Golem, because the Flesh Golem can be animated multiple times from its own corpse. Sure, you know, it does nothing for the fact that it won't deal as much damage as 30 or 40 Bone Fiends, but as far as the availability of corpses, I think this solves that problem. Animate Flesh Golem is described as exploit nearest corpse to animate a level 3 to 21 Flesh Golem. Flesh Golem leaves an exploitable corpse. You can only have one Flesh Golem at a time. Now, this Death Magic Elite skill has an energy cost of 15, activation time of 3 seconds, and a recharge time of 30 seconds. It can only be captured from the Jade Brotherhood boss, Giel the Bone Dancer, in Zakwang Skyway, if I pronounce that right. And since this is one of the most sought-after new elite caps, I'll describe a little bit on how to find them. If you leave from the Senji's Corner at the Zakwang Skyway exit, turn left, and as soon as you can, there will be an area where you can go north. And the first one is actually a dead end, but you go to the second one, the second turn north, which would be a right turn, and you go north. Go as far as you can, continue going north. He's actually right near Vizuna Square, but you actually can't get to him by leaving from Vizuna Square, so this is the easiest way. Now, trying to keep the golem alive can be a pain, so instead of using heals, try to take Taste of Death with you. And when the golem is near death, you use Taste of Death, and it'll kill the golem and leave the exploitable corpse free to be reused. This basically saves time, health, and energy. And it controls exactly when he dies so that you'll know when you can raise him again. Because I think one of the biggest problems with Animate Flesh Golem is you don't notice when the golem dies. And if you wait long enough, his exploitable corpse will actually disappear, and you have to find another one. And another thing you can do is if you use Death Nova before the respawning, your golem will add in a hefty amount of additional damage at a low price. If there are two necromancers in the party, you can have one cast Tainted Flesh on your animated flesh golem. Because of his size, more enemies can attack him at once. With Tainted Flesh enchantment active, their melee attacks will cause them to become diseased. So this is an effective way to keep enemies on the degen while speeding up corpse production. Unlike the Flesh Golems of Perdition Rock in the Fire Islands, the animated Flesh Golems have no skills. They serve as an elite minion more so than an ally. They're actually the most powerful of the animated minions, but they share the same AI flaws as Bone Horrors, Vampiric Horrors, and Bone Minions. Against a 100 armor level, a level 26 animated Flesh Golem can do 32 to 55 damage, and that excludes critical hits. And without healing, a level 26 animated Flesh Golem's life expectancy is 1 minute and 40 seconds, so keep that in mind. So that'll do it for this episode of Guildcast. Next week's episode will cover the topic of the Necromancer. Also, I wanted to mention the contests that we had last week. The hide-and-seek contest was held last Saturday night, and it went really well. It seems the riddle clue that Lady Sinea wrote helped out a lot. The winner was Estane Nightcrawler with second place going to Chaos Dark Phoenix. And then in the forums, I had a henchman quote contest in the spirit of this episode. The Shadowed Blade won the first contest, with Estane Nightcrawler coming in second place. I also tried a second quotes contest after that one, but no one was really able to correctly answer any of those, so there were no winners there. The next contest will be a running contest on Sunday, May 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 6 p.m. Pacific and 2 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. It'll start in Drachner's Forge and finish in Copperhammer Mines. And now, since the 21st is a little while away, I think it's over a week away, I might have either another photo contest or a quotes contest in the forums between now and then, so look for that. But until then, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.